The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Portions of the following program have been pre-recorded. KNUS Denver, a Salem Media Group station. He is an Army veteran.
Duty, honor, country.
And former district attorney for Colorado's 18th Judicial District.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Most important, he's a father and a proud American.
Americans love a winner.
He is George Brockler. And this is The George Show on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
Everything that guy just says, bull.
That may be true here at 710 KNUS, but it is not true for our very special guest that we're bringing up right now. He is the minority leader for the House of Representatives. His name is Hugh McKean. Hugh, have you left the bar yet?
Good morning, George. You know, I'll tell you what. I got in my car last night about 12:30. I don't think I climbed into bed until about 2. But anybody that had the energy after this last couple of weeks to go to the bar, they got more stamina than I do.
You guys just wrapped up a very interesting legislative session last night. And for folks that don't appreciate this, the way the law was set up and the way it's operated, other than during the COVID, when we could apparently do 120 days whenever we wanted, this was a normal session where once the legislature started, 120 days later, the lights turn off and everything ends. And short of a special session, it either got done or it didn't, and you move on. Is that fair?
That is absolutely fair. I tell people it's an 80 to 90 hour a week job for those 120 days. And then we go back to the 60 hours a week, just helping out folks in our districts.
Now, I presume for folks that don't know too, you guys get paid about $100,000 to $120,000 a year to do that.
We get paid about 12 cents an hour. but I never, ever want.
And that's no joke, by the way. That's no joke. I just don't think people appreciate it. What is it, like 30 grand, 35 grand or something?
We make all of $43,000 a year.
That is nuts. Let me ask you, as we look at this session in the rearview mirror, if you can see through the haze and the fog of this already, what were the big wins that you saw? And I'm going to define win to be not just things that you passed that were good for Colorado, but things you defeated that would have been bad for Colorado.
No, I think we actually had some really big things. We passed, for the first time in 20 years, a pro-Second Amendment bill. We brought hunter education back to seventh grade.
Wow.
That's not just a, you know, hey, this is a gun bill. It's really not. It's a conservation bill. But it got defeated for 3 years ago and for the last couple of years because, oh, they talk about gun safety. So we got that done, and we got that done because it's been my bill for 3 years, and man, I just kept working on it and working on it. We also did do good things about trying to roll back some taxes and fees, trying to do them not just as the Democrats did to get them rolled back before the election and then put them right back in place afterwards. But what we really worked on was long-term solutions to take more government out of people's lives and keep more money in their pockets. The last thing I think that really we were looking at is how do we work on getting tough on this crime wave? That's on everybody's minds, and then also give parents choice in education.
When you talk about the reduction in fees and costs and stuff, and again, that's been a theme not just of Governor Polis through the state of the state, but for everybody, and that is, holy smokes, it's getting super expensive to live in Colorado. We need to try to make it less expensive. What are the specific things you think the legislature was able to get done in the way of fees and whatnot?
You know, what we really looked at were things like mill levies and how do we make sure that the property taxes that would have gone up incredibly steeply after the repeal of Gallagher, that they stay low. And that was bipartisan, but it was really because Republicans were not willing to let up on we've got to do a better job for American families. And, you know, you think about it, the people who are hit by property taxes the hardest are folks who live on a fixed income.
Yep.
And especially our senior citizens. So we were able to deliver on that. The one that didn't get through, which is too bad, was to repeal the sales tax on food. We still charge sales tax on to-go food from restaurants. It's kind of amazing because the governor and everybody else said, go support your local restaurants. And then we realized that it was probably a bit of a bait and switch. Go support your restaurant so we can get more sales tax. We should repeal that. It's an immoral tax.
What was the hang up on that? Was that a party line thing or was it something else ideological?
No, it was party line, but really it's because it cost the state money. You know, we were going to let Coloradans keep about $50 million in their pockets from even a pared down version of that bill. And they just didn't want to give it up. All at the same time, they're spending billions of dollars on programs to house the homeless and do all of these other things. So disappointing, but kind of expected.
And maybe folks don't know this either, but that $50 million it would have saved taxpayers, which for you and me and our neighbors is real money, even when put out in those smaller amounts. That's in the context of a budget that grew $2.1 billion from last year to this year. So the idea that, hey, the state just can't afford this. Yeah. And you and I can talk about homelessness all day long. We are probably better served by just scratching a $100,000 check to each homeless person out there. And we'd probably save money if we were to just do that. But that's not the way we're doing business right now. When you look at other missed opportunities or things that happened that were just, these are bad for Colorado. Now, we talked about the fentanyl bill at length here in the last hour or so. We had Michael Allen, the DA from El Paso County, call in. I don't need you to rehash that part of it, but are there other bills out there where you thought, man, this is not going to work good things for Coloradans?
I think it was a little bit of the continuation of the same, you know, and fentanyl is the example. We brought in DAs and law enforcement, and they all told us that there were pieces of that bill that just didn't work, that just weren't practical. And in the end, the argument came down to, you know, how can we help all of these people who are committing a crime, but many people in there who are actually distributing a poison. And I think that's where it comes down to the ideological differences, because I think most Republicans are sitting there going, look, families deserve to live in safety and peace. And the fact that they're laying in bed waiting for that sound of the garage door going up to know their kids are home safe, when what we really have is this poison that's circulating on our streets. The people who distribute that poison really should go away for a very long time, and we need incentives for people to use that drug. And that's where we fail at getting our counterparts to come along with us. They think that everything is a disease and everybody needs to be helped through their disease. Well, sometimes it's just murder.
We're talking with Minority House Leader Hugh McKean on the end of the legislative session addressing the fentanyl bill. The other thing that you heard is that they bring in these doctors, I guess they're doctors, I think they are, medical people, to talk about harm reduction, but they define harm reduction as only what will impact the addict, not harm reduction for the community or for the family members of those who have died and the painful testimonies that they gave. And in my opinion, Hugh, it is just because there is no check on the left under the Gold Dome. From the governor all the way through both houses, they can pretty much do whatever they want, and they do. There are times where they reach out and they try to be bipartisan, but at the end of the day, if they want to flex, there ain't much you can do about it.
Well, I will tell you, I was actually just writing an email a minute ago. Yesterday, we were tying up some loose ends on the bill that would allow county workers to unionize. And we all know what that really means, which is to encourage and in some cases force county workers to unionize. And so we got really involved in that bill, and we were really working it hard. And partly to give ourselves time, we read some bills at length. We went down and debated for hours and hours. And here's what the Senate president had to say, and it's worth hearing. He said, the House Republicans are being terrorists about collective bargaining in the House based on demands from Republican counties. And he was sending this to some of the folks that were on the other side but helping. And he said, I appreciate you guys tried to hold up your end of the bargain after you left the Senate, couldn't get people there. But this blank, this excrement in the House feels like bad faith. No, this is what you hear from a bolder Senate president who doesn't like the fact that we're out there advocating for the other people in the state whose voices are often unheard.
We had already heard from Elbert County Commissioner Chris Richardson, who'd said, listen, every county already has the ability to unionize. This is different. This is like forcing it upon counties. What happened with that bill, Hugh? Where did it end up? Uh-oh, we may have lost Hugh.
Provisions on it.
I'm sorry, you broke up just a bit there. I thought maybe Fenberg had hacked into your phone.
That's always possible. No, it ended up passing as we knew it probably would. We did manage to get some of the smaller counties out of it. The home rule counties can opt out. County commissioners have the ability to say no to a contract. But really, it passed because it was a payback. Last July, the unions in Colorado said, we don't feel like we've been treated well by the Democrats. They put out a letter, and that letter said that we will not donate to the House Republican Fund or these other funds until we are shown. And they said, we're not going to give you money until you show us that you're going to work with us. This bill was quid pro quo. This bill was the kind of Washington, D.C. style strong-arming that we shouldn't see in Colorado and that people don't ever want to have as part of our government.
Again, and I've been beating this drum, and I know you have too, but this is one of the ills of single-party government at the state level, and that is there is simply no check on this nonsense. Is there any hope at all that the governor might come in and veto this in the name of sanity and trying to look more like a moderate?
I don't think there is. I think the governor wants to have those relationships. He knows that if he wants to not have to beat his head against a wall like I have to beat my head against a wall for the next 4 years, he had better grease the wheels with the unions. So I don't think there's a snowball's chance that the governor does not sign that bill.
You talked about property tax relief. Now, there was something that was passed. And two questions. One, but for the repeal of Gallagher, would the increase, the explosion in property taxes be the same for residences, for regular folks? And then the second part is the property tax, quote unquote, relief. Is that permanent?
So, first of all, no. Well, yes. There are three bills, actually. But one of them is permanent, that what it will do is reduce the have a percentage reduction in the appraised value of the home. But the other piece of it, there are just some 2 and 5 year provisions in there that are along the homestead tax exemption. But really what it is a chance to not hit people immediately with a 200% rise in their property taxes.
Before the election.
And that's what we knew might happen. Right. Just before an election, which amazingly some of these provisions too and in other bills expire just after the election.
Wow.
And then
what?
Magically your Tabor refund is going to come just before the election, probably with Jared Polis's name on the check.
And a picture. Did that have to go through the legislature, that promise to give back what was already owed but in a lesser amount for many?
No, this is the amazing thing. On April 25th of 2022, Republicans and Democrats agreed on something we never thought they would, and that is that Tabor is great, that Tabor works, that it is a way to make sure that Coloradans don't pay too much to their government. What really we see is they're moving dates around so they look good right before an election. These rebates would have either been on your taxes or delivered to you around May of next year. But they moved them up, and we even brought a bill saying no one in elected office should be able to put their name on these checks. And go figure, that was defeated.
What? So who gets to, is it Dave Young gets to have his name on there? No one knows who the state treasurer is, so maybe this is a way to elevate his name ID.
I think it might be. And yes, I believe Dave Young puts his name on these checks.
The other insidious thing about it, and I know there's a claimed benefit to this, is that there is a six-tier system for giving these Tabor refunds. And that six-tier system is supposed to reflect the level of contribution that you made. If you paid a little bit of taxes, you get a little bit of refund. You paid a lot of taxes, you get a lot of refund. And they came in to say, we don't like that. We hate Tabor. We're not going to actually use the word Tabor in our press conference revealing this vote buyback thing or whatever they're calling it. But they made it all equal. So everybody that files a tax return is now going to get $500. I think they elevated it from $400 to $500 because of how many tax dollars they're taking in. $500 each. Did that get debated at all on the floor of any of the legislature, or was it just agreed upon, hey, let's just do this?
So it did get debated, but really what it was the Joint Budget Committee folks came in and said, here's what it's going to be, and it's based on this year only, the sales tax rebate for Coloradans, which basically does treat all Coloradans the same. But this is the problem, right? Is in a free market society, you get a benefit of the extra taxes you pay by getting more rebate.
That's right.
if there is one. In socialism, you can't do that. You have to give everybody just the same amount so that no one feels particularly special. It's the part and parcel of everything we see, which is there should be no exceptionalism. There should be no greater benefit or greater responsibility. It should be all the same. Government will take care of all the problems, and everyone can live the same normal median life.
I presume that same philosophy and principle applies to property taxes, too, where someone in a $2 million home should pay the exact same amount of property taxes as someone who lives in a $400,000 home. That bill probably was offered by the Dems as well.
That's funny because I believe in Boulder County, they have let's just say that they really like charging a lot of taxes on big houses.
That too, it's one of the most homogenous communities maybe in the world outside of Korea, but it is ridiculously homogenous, and yet they have these minority house leader, I'm sorry, Hugh McKean, thank you for joining us. Any last words? And then I want you to tell us where folks can go to your website to help. I know you're up for election this year, so now that you're free of the legislature, you can actually go about the business of getting reelected.
Well, no, I appreciate all that. I would leave people with this, that the job that Republicans have done in the last few years has been incredibly difficult. And that, as you mentioned earlier, we have a chance this year to take back the House and take back the Senate of Colorado and bring balance back to government. And I just don't think that we focus on that enough. We have such partisan politics. That if people realize that, you know, even if Jared Polis were to get reelected, what we really need is a backstop. And we need the fact that bad ideas have a place to go die. And that's why you ought to support Republican candidates in your primaries, Republican candidates for the general election this fall, really so that we can turn around some of what's...
Oh, Hugh, we almost lost you again.
Yeah.
Almost lost you.
That's okay. So you can find me at McKeanforStateHouse.com. You can also find us generally anywhere you want to, but we all have pages on the state COEG website. Send us an email. Give us a call. Let us know what we need to do for you.
And, Hugh, I think you have foolishly agreed to do the Advance Colorado Rundown podcast. Is that true?
I have indeed.
Okay, well, we'll be talking to you very soon. And now that I've laid the groundwork for this, we're really going to get down and dirty into the stuff on that podcast.
Terrific. I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, thanks. That's Hugh McKean joining us this morning after a rough 120-day legislative session. I will tell you, from someone who has been testifying before the legislative committees now for years, it is like, for some, going to the dentist. but it doesn't need to be that. There should be sedation legislation. Instead, if you loathe going to the dentist because you just have that fear, that aversion, but you got to go, whether it's toothache, tooth pain, some sort of preventative thing, go to our friends at Twin Aspen Dental. Doctors Richter and Snyder, fantastic members of the community, and that matters. Not just employees of a giant chain, and no offense to them, but let's get real. You get better service and you feel better about supporting a small business, especially one that's in your community, by people who are invested in that community beyond just the dollars. And that's Dr. Richter's and Snyder. If you need sedation dentistry, they can help you get past the angst that'll keep you from getting that, either that preventative dentistry that you need. And I go in twice a year because that's what the doctor ordered. And if you need, any kind of bridge work, crown work, any of that kind of dental work, they're also experts at that as well. Don't let those old school fears keep you from a beautiful smile and a healthy mouth. They have a brand new office. It is super awesome down there off of Parker Road and Stroh Ranch, right by Lehman Academy. Easy to get to from anywhere and worth the drive. If you're not in the southern part of the metro area, worth the drive. Get on 470, just stay around. Yeah, I went French there. Just sit around, head down 83, that's Parker Road, and get to them. You can also visit them online at TwinAspenDentalCenter.com or call them at 303-841-7466, 303-841-7466. When we come back, I'd love to hear from you at 303-696-1971. What's going on? What did you want to see? What did you hear out of Hugh? And what's the thing that's going to fix Colorado? Because it certainly isn't going to be the legislature. You, me, the radio, coming up next. Until then, George Brockler, 710 KNUS.
Text the studio directly on the 710 KNUS app. Get it free at the App Store or Google Play.
George Brockler back with you here on this warm and windy Thursday, May the 12th, 2022. My thanks to House Minority Leader Hugh McKean. He's up for re-election up in the northern part, just beyond the metro area up there. And it was a good synopsis of some of the good and the bad that took place. There's much more that went on at the legislature that over the days will be reported on. We have talked extensively about the train wreck that is that fentanyl bill. And if your elected DA out there tells you it's a good thing, ask them to explain how they're ever going to prosecute anyone for possessing 1 to 4 grams of fentanyl. It's now become harder to do that than it is to prosecute someone for meth, cocaine, heroin, fill in the blank. But that's a topic that we covered. Happy to continue that conversation at 303-696-1971. Everyone seems to have a horror story about that. In terms of tackling the rest of the crime tsunami, let me tell you that after, was it Senate Bill 217, the We Don't Like Cops, the Demoralize the Cops bill that made its way through the legislature in the wake of George Floyd and Elijah McClain, we have seen a great exodus of police officers, some of whom who have left seeking careers where they are not disrespected and yet asked to put their lives on the line, others who have just simply retired. And it has created a deficit. I'm going to give you two agencies. The Denver Police Department and the Aurora Police Department are each one of them down 150 police officers. That's 300 total police officers for the most crime-challenged portions of the metro area, down 300 officers. That can't make anybody that lives there feel good about their safety, not either for their person or their property. So the legislature stepped in to try to address that, and so they passed a bill that they have been touting and running to the media with, and look what we've done for law enforcement to take on this crime tsunami, which they deny has any correlation at all, or causation for that matter, from past legislation that they've been a part of. And they passed a bill that would provide a paltry $30 million towards retention and recruitment. Now, just to put that in perspective, that is 8/10,000ths of the state budget. Of a $38.1 billion budget, $30 million bucks ain't a nothing. That's just nothing. I don't know how else to describe it. I mean, 10% of the budget would be a ton, and that would be $3.8 billion. 1% would be $380 $1 million. I mean, we just keep working our way down. It's less and less and less. They just threw a teeny tiny amount to try to fix this statewide problem. Here's why that doesn't work. An agency as large as Denver and as large as Aurora has natural organic attrition. Even before the Demoralize the Cops bill passed back in 2020. And they normally have attrition. Let's say, I think for Denver, it's somewhere in that 70 officer per year range. Well, they recruit back in above that amount, or at least at that amount, to try to offset that so that they're always in a position of not having too great of a need and not too great of a surplus. That just makes a ton of sense. But because of the hemorrhaging of officers and being down 150, you can do the math. This year, without doing anything, they'll be down 220. Well, if you have an average class that comes in for recruiting in the 40s, let's say, to fill maybe 50, it will take years, multiple years, to get back to par with what the police departments were at before George Floyd and before Elijah McClain and before the We Don't Trust the Cops bills passed. And so while we're drowning in crime, both property and violent, let me give you another number here. And I think I mentioned this the other day after a meeting I was at. In all of 2014, which coincidentally, I'm sure it's not causation, coincidentally, was a year that recreational marijuana became regulated and somewhat legalized. 2014, Denver had 31 total murders, homicides, 31. As of last week, Denver has 37. We be in the first week of May last week, and they're at 37 homicides. Now think about that. And they're doing that job and the explosion in property crime with 150 less officers. And we're going to be digging out of this hole for years. And the legislature's response is to say, we'll throw at the state, not at Denver, at the state of Colorado, $30 million to help address recruiting and retention. Get real. I mean, this legislature, again, has proven itself to be the most offender-focused, offender-friendly legislature. Imagine what they would have done with their bills and their time had there not been intense focus on the crime tsunami. Imagine what more they would have done. They would have passed that crazy bill we talked about with 4th Judicial District DA Michael Allen that said you can't lie to juvenile murderers to get them to confess. Really? I mean, really? You can't do the old, hey, you know, we got your fingerprints on the murder weapon. And that's enough to cause your 17-year-old murderer to go, you did. Well, I wasn't even there, but yeah, I did it. Come on, man. They have this one horrible case out of Denver from 22 years ago, and that's become the basis for a bill that would gut law enforcement's ability to hold accountable these horrible, horrible juvenile murderers. And I know, when they're kids, they're completely correctable. They're just incorrigible. They're not evil. I beg to disagree. But that's where we're at with this. Listen, there was something else that has taken place, and we can talk about this as well. Yesterday, kind of in line with what we've been talking about the last few days, there was a forced vote or attempted forced vote by Democrat U.S. senators on federal abortion rights. This all stems from the leaked Justice Alito majority opinion that appears to be overturning Roe and Casey and sending the issue of abortion back to the states where it likely should have always been. Well, of course, the Democrats see an opportunity to create another wedge issue because that's how they get elected, not on consensus, but on division. And the way they do that is to try to force Republicans on the record to vote against a national, a federal abortion rights, abortion protection bill, rather than let the states handle this thing. But it never got a chance to be debated. In order to get something passed on, to have that actual floor vote and floor debate, you got to have 60 votes in the Senate. That's like a filibuster-proof kind of number right there, right? Like you can break a filibuster with 60. You can't without it. They couldn't even get 50. They only got 49, even though they have 50 senators. That's because Joe Manchin, Democrat from West Virginia, continues to try to save the Democrats from themselves and voted with the Republicans. Interestingly, two Republicans who had previously voted favorably about abortion rights stuff, and that's Susan Collins out of Maine. And, oh, man, who was the other one? I cannot remember. I'm looking for it right now. But someone knows who it is, and I do not. But there were two. Oh, and, of course, Murkowski out of Alaska. How did I forget that? They both voted with the rest of the Republicans, and so it lost. Now, meanwhile, our Democrat delegation, lockstep, all went to town hammering away at the fact that Republicans are voting against women's right to abort babies. And so you had quotes from Bennett. You had quotes from Hickenlooper. You had a letter that was signed by Jason Crow, who's the 6th CD congressman, and a bunch of other folks saying we should blow up the filibuster in the Senate over this issue. It doesn't sound like anyone over there has the votes to make that happen. Again, protecting the Democrats from themselves. Now, we can talk about that topic. I'm happy to read you some of these quotes. They're really interesting, not unpredictable, but just interesting. And the quotes on the Republican side are as exactly as you think that they would be. But I'm also willing to go right back to the phones to have this conversation about this legislative session, the crime thing, and also abortion. So let's do that right now at 303-696-1971. John, you're on 710 KNUS. What do you think, John?
Hi, good morning. Remember how they were going to take this money away from the cops and put it into all these social workers that would drive it to cops because all the domestic violence people were afraid of cops? So they really don't need more cops because they're going to have all these other great, wonderful, and wise people go with them to help prevent, you know, more violent crime. So that was their logic, and I kind of wonder what they did with all that money they were going to take from the cops and put into these programs.
Yeah, I do think it's a great question. I do think that some money has been used to bring on more of these mental health-trained kind of crisis response team type folks and social workers. And I'll say this. I think it's an experiment worth trying in some cases. In some cases. But this idea that we are going to social worker, mental health worker our way out of a need for people who wear body armor and have guns because there's evil out there, that is nuts. That is crazy. When things go bad, nobody's calling 911 to say, quick, send me a social worker. Nobody is doing that. They're saying, please save me, protect me, stop the bad stuff from happening. And so that money has gone, I think, in part to some programs that I do think can have real benefit, but in no way can it be a substitute, and in no way should it be diverted from officers.
I thought at one time, thinking way out of the box, let's rate every police officer as an A, B, C, or D, and when somebody calls in and needing help, they say, well, okay, an A officer is really, really good, and so we'll have a really good cop coming over. You just want an average guy B or not-so-good guy C, or you don't really care how good they are, just a D. Tell us which one you want to send out so that we're not sending somebody you don't want to have. And if you want a social worker at 7 o'clock, we'll see what we can do. Of course, it may take us a little while to get the right person out there because all the A guys, if they're doing something, helping somebody else, you're going to have to wait. So let them rate the cops and decide when they call in which kind of cop they want to have.
That is a very interesting proposition, especially since many of these calls show up as 911 emergency calls. I wonder if they could build that into the automated system, like for a social worker, press one.
Yeah.
For a mental health worker, press two. For someone who can actually stop the bad guys, press three.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, and then the cops would know they would get rated and paid based on their rating and how they're doing. And people can call in and say, oh, I think you need to move this guy up to an A cop because he did good or whatever. But then you get the kind of cop you want to have instead of worrying about it. Oh, I'm going to have this bad cop that's a racist, da-da-da-da-da, you know?
I also think that the other thing that the legislature is either deaf to or maybe they're ignorant of, I don't know, is the fact that what we have done is to turn police into reactive instead of proactive members of the community. And what I want as a taxpayer is I want proactive policing. I don't want them to just show up because I've had to call 911. I don't ever want to have to call 911. And because of that Senate Bill 217 from back in 2020, we have now encouraged police to think in terms of their own personal liability first and trying to protect the community second. That doesn't seem to me to have made for a very safe situation for us.
And that's why you've lost policemen. Why would you risk your own personal money and everything else to go serve somebody else that's going to maybe get critical about what you've done and sue you or whatever over something that's really stupid? Yeah, I mean, you put yourself in a no-win situation. And when you don't have any cops, And talk about proactive. That's what they did in New York when it was stop and frisk. Their crime was down. Now they can't do that, and look what happened.
The other part that gets me, John, is the number of excuses that can be made for criminals and why they commit crime, why they shouldn't be held accountable for it. But more than that, the willingness to disconnect the actual actions the legislature takes from the results of those actions and say those are disconnected. Of course, yeah. We did X, Y, and Z, but that has nothing to do with the surge in crime rate.
No.
John. Hey, John, I appreciate the phone call, my man. Thank you. John's line is open at 303-696-1971. I want to talk to you before we cut away here for a break, before we get to the top of this hour, that there is an art, a true art, to putting together the perfect kitchen, and that is Mitch Floria at the Art of Granite. Your countertop, either in your kitchen or your bathroom, that's the biggest, firstest thing anyone's going to see. In fact, everybody builds everything else off of the counter, right? Everything's got to be an accent of the counter because it drives the eye. It's the thing that attracts your eye. And Mitch Floria, who is a true American success story, guy came over from Romania, but this dude, every bit of his DNA is 100% patriot. You go into his office, there are eagles and flags everywhere. This is a guy that loves America as much as anybody I've ever met. The number I'm going to give you, that reaches a guy named Mitch Floria. That's how personal this business is to him. Now, listen, I can give you the website, and it's easy. It's theartofgranite.com. And I can talk to you about the wholesale pricing and the fact that he doesn't do those markups, and he has all of the ability to do the quartz, the man-made stuff, and also the granite stuff, the naturally occurring stuff, and can take you around. But here's the bottom line. The best way to get to see everything that Mitch can do is to go to Mitch's warehouse. You go to his office and warehouse. They are conveniently located at right about 6th Avenue and I-70. I mean, right in between 6th Avenue and I-70, almost at the corner of them. You go in there, you are going to sign up with Mitch Floria. That's just what happens. You meet this guy, you trust this guy, you are convinced that this guy not only is an artisan and an expert, but someone you can trust. That matters to me more than almost anything else. So you give this guy a call, it'll ring his phone, 303-386-5919, 303-386-5919. Or, and you can start off with this, but got to go to the warehouse. But you can start off at theartofgranite.com. That's theartofgranite.com. When we come back, we'll have a few minutes left before we wrap up this third of 4 hours on Thursday, May the 12th. Until that time, my name's George Brockler. You're listening to The George Show on 710 KNUS.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live on Odyssey. George Brockler. News Talk 710 KNUS.
George Brockler right back with you here for a couple minutes before we end hour three of four. We'll be back with you after the top of the hour. You know, we've talked with Hugh McKean. We had on District Attorney Michael Allen to talk about some of the train wreck that was the bills that did or didn't happen through the legislative session. It's now in the rearview mirror. There's going to be analysis in the days after. You're going to hear people trumpeting all the things that they did, mostly Democrats. You now know the truth about some of the things that they're going to talk about that is just plain fake, and hopefully they get held accountable through your questions to them. But my question to you, and what makes this show work long term, are the phone call conversations that we have here. Now, I've gotten a bunch of emails. I'm going to continue to go through those and try to read some of them. A bunch of texts coming up here, even from folks who are saying, hey, I left the law enforcement job because of this. Other things talking about the voter integrity stuff. Other questions about that. I want to continue that. Don't get me wrong. I love the texts, as you know, and I'll respond to a bunch of them. If you've gotten my responses, you know that that's true. But the conversations are what matter to me. So 303-696-1971. Here's where we're at. You've heard all this stuff. Legislative session is over. Have you had enough? Have you had enough of the Democrats in power? And if that's the case, what is that one issue or that one message that you want the Republicans to champion that would make the difference, not just for you, but you think for your unaffiliated, or maybe even if they still exist out there in the wild, your conservative Democrat friend? What is that message that you think transcends party, that if the Republicans champion that, that it wins you over? Or do you even need that? Are you just so disgusted with the way things have gone under Democrat rule, you'll vote for anybody? But give us a call, 303-696-1971. We have KBB on here all the time. We have Priscilla Ron. We're going to have Tina Peters in here, I think, next Thursday, which will be, that's a week from today. Super awesome. I think we're going to have Ron Hanks in the future. We've had Joe O'Day yesterday. We have people running for big It Matters offices in here. If you got the chance to tell them, this is the issue that matters most to me. This is why I'd vote for you. What is it? 303-696-1971. Kind of interested to see what, because I know what it is for me. I can tell you what it is for me, but I'd love to hear it from you, the 710 KNUS listener. Until that time, before we come back for this last hour on Thursday, it's George Brockler on 710 KNUS.
This report is sponsored by Indeed.com. Spring into spring hiring with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Mark Levin sees a quick 180.
When it comes to aborting babies, all they ever talk about are women. Women, 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 women. Can you define a woman? No. But it's women, 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 women. The insanity, the evilness of these people knows no limits. Right up to the leaking of this first draft. They weren't defining women. They weren't defending women. They were destroying women's sports.
Mark Levin, weeknights at 7 on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Hi, it's Peter Boyles here for my friend David Ellison, Cherry Creek. Now's the time to get a professional appraisal on all the valuables you have tucked away in your home. You could be sitting on a fortune in cash. David Ellis Jewelers pays top dollar for your diamonds, gold, sterling silver, wedding bands, and Rolex watches. You'll get instant cash on the spot. David offers confidential evaluations on precious metals, coins, silver sets, and estate sale jewelry and antique items. This trusted jeweler has been buying precious metals and antiques in Colorado for decades. No obligation, free appraisals, private and confidential. If you're looking to buy a gift for someone special in your life or yourself, the vast, expansive showroom, David Ellis Jewelers, look for the black awning, the corner of 3rd and Clayton and Cherry Creek. Explore online, davidellisjewelry.com. 6 days a week, call my friend David Ellis, 303-322-8779. 303-322-8779. Online, davidellisjewelry.com. 3rd and Clayton and Cherry Creek, you'll be glad you did. Hi, it's Peter Boyles. Don't go through another summer with that awful joint pain. Call QC Kinetics now. Here's the deal. The pain in your back, your knees, your shoulders, it can be now treated with the latest in precision medicine using natural biologics, growth factors that can restore and repair damaged tissue. Really exciting stuff. It's right here. QC Kinetics, the nation's leader in regenerative medicine, giving you access right here, this modern-day joint pain solutions. You can get lasting joint pain relief, no drugs, no steroids, no downtime, and no surgery. You heard Emmett Smith raving about QC Kinetics. You've heard or seen other high-profile people talking about it. Regenerative medicine at QC Kinetics can help you get your life back again. Take action now. A free consultation, powerful, effective joint pain treatment, natural biologics are right here. So call QC Kinetics now, 303-900-8986. That's 303-900-8986.
Are you wondering what you can do to have a direct impact on the war on drugs and homelessness in Colorado? George Brockler here. If you have a vehicle you're not using, consider donating your vehicle to Step Denver to give men the opportunity for a safe, sober, structured place to call home as they work to recover and rebuild their lives. If you have a car, truck, RV, or boat, contact Step Denver today for a free tow, hassle-free call 303-296-9020 or visit stepdenver.org. That's 303-296-9020 or stepdenver.org.
J-Dog Junk Removal in Hauling is your source for junk hauling, decluttering, demolition, cleanouts, and e-waste recycling. Whether it's clearing out an entire home, one room, or commercial space, J-Dog provides the best service at very competitive prices. Trust J-Dog to haul it out without you having to lift a thing. They are veteran-owned, operated, and hiring. Visit them at veteran-junkbizco.com. That's veteran-junkbizco.com.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.